We're going to look at Philippians this morning, and we're going to look at chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul goes on to say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So basically, Paul looks at his life, and he looks at what God has saved him from, but it's more like what God saves us into, isn't it? It isn't as much as what God saves us into as it is to what he saves us from. He saves us into a relationship with him, into becoming his righteousness, that we walk in the darkness of this world and our light so shines and our deeds are so great that they glorify God. They see us persevere through things that we shouldn't be able to persevere through. The things of this world don't seem to upset us as much as the world. Stock market crashes, who gets elected as president. I mean, there's a lot of people with anxiety going on. I don't have to have that anxiety. I don't have to have that anxiety. If I understand this, for to me to live is Christ, and the focal point is that we are Christ, and that is by which we set our standards of living and by which we exemplify ourselves to others, is based on the fact that for me to live is Christ. I am to be like him. I am to be and understand not that I can walk on water, not that I can perform all these miracles, but it's about becoming and having that nature of God that loves people with an agape love, not a condemning love. God's the one that condemned us. The church is to be that light that shines into the darkness of folks' lives in a gentle manner so that they come to that saving knowledge of who he is. It's all about that. It's not about me getting you to stop a certain sin or a certain activity in your life, but it's to make sure you're secure in the nature that you now have. If you have not become born again, you're not a child of God. It's that simple. And if you're not born again, you will be cast out into the outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. It doesn't matter, and this is why I get so frustrated with all the religious activity of mankind, and they think that somehow that's pleasing to God. If I go on mission trips, God will be pleased. If I stay in Scripture, God will be pleased. If I give my money to church, that will be pleased. If I go and mow my neighbor's yard, God will be pleased. No, God is only pleased with those actions if it stems from who you are, not based that I do those things and I become a child of God, but I do those things because I'm a child of God. It's like, you know, if I've got faith, and I want to be justified by that faith, well, the faith that I have produces works in me that allows me to prove my faith. It's not the other way around. The works that I do don't prove who I am. It's who I am should be proof by my works. So understand that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why is that gain? I mean, we're leaving our families, we're leaving our work, we're leaving all this stuff that we enjoy. How can it be gain? You got to understand this, because this new birth experience, when you become a child of God, you're just passing through now. This is no longer your home. When you become a child of God, you give up your nationality. You give up your traditions. You give up your denominations. You give up your rights. When you become a child of God, you have none of those. Those are not important anymore. Okay? It's okay to be proud of your heritage. It's okay to be proud of where you came from. But you can't let that dictate your relationship. You are now a new creature. When you're a new creature, you have a new destiny. When you have a new destiny, you have a new focus. And when you have a new focus, you have a new purpose. And that purpose is that to be used by God, that we might bring those that are around us to the saving knowledge of who he is by instructing them and putting a light on the path. And Jesus Christ is that door by which they come to God. It's in him. It's not that they come and they do this and do that and do this and then they're okay. It's that you have to be born again, something that we can't do for ourselves. And until we realize we can't do this on our own, and then how we gain by dying is that, you know, Paul says, you know, absent from the body is present with the Lord. So that's a gain. That's where we want to be. That's where Paul, he is so later on in his life and his walk, and his walk with Christ, his walk with God was not a pleasant one. It wasn't this great little thing that he threw all of his cares on Jesus Christ and all of a sudden he had this wonderful, great life. He had a very difficult life, and he knew that he had a purpose, and in that purpose, that's why he says, for me to live is Christ, and if I die, it's going to be gain, because all these chains will be that I have, that the yoke that God has put on me is going to be all gone, and I will be in the presence of Almighty God to worship him. And it's pretty amazing to come to that point in our lives where they're that mature, where we understand that passage of Scripture. He says, but I am to live on the flesh. This will mean fruitful labor for me. Gosh, I don't know which to choose. So even though his life took so many ups and downs physically, he stayed very steadfast spiritually. And he could say this. He said, you know, I need to stay here. There's work to be done. There's truth to be taught, not only in the Gentile nation, but also in the Jewish nations, that we have to share this truth that God takes all that division away and he makes us all into one group. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You can't be any other. There's no other options. God gave us no other options. And you're born a child of the devil. I mean, that's just the way it is. And we need to tell people that. We need to let people know that their goodness does not please God. You cannot please God in the flesh, and therefore you're a child of the devil. It says in Scripture that you're a child of the devil, that by nature you're children of wrath. But we don't tell people this. We're not teaching this. Instead, we're teaching that people, okay, just go out and do all these good things and God's going to be pleased with you. God is not pleased with anything we do in the flesh if it's not backed by the Spirit. If you're not spiritual, then all the deeds that you do fall on deaf ears, according to God. But fruitful labor, what does that mean? I'm not just being a busybody. Fruitful labor, that means it's productive, okay? That what I'm doing is productive. It's mattering not only in my life, but it's mattering in somebody else's life. If I sit there and tell them just to say a prayer, and if you believe it strong enough, then you're going to go to heaven, that's not fruitful labor. That's a lie. Okay? Fruitful labor is we are applying Scriptures and we're applying God's truth to our lives, which just totally destroy the flesh and the flesh concepts and the worldly concepts in this. You know, it's just we've allowed so much of the world to come into the church that we don't even recognize these things as contrary to God's word. We've grown up generations now in churches where, guess what, whatever the world ideas are, if you want to build a church, this is how you build it. If you need more money from your people, you hire somebody that comes in and get your people to feel guilty about not giving money to the church. And, I mean, we use all the human means to build a business. We're now using those in the church. That's not fruitful labor. Okay, fruitful labor is that we produce and reproduce. So, I can't make you a child of God. I can only do what the Scriptures told me to do, and that's to make you a disciple of Christ. That means you follow the teachings of Christ. That means you begin to apply them to your life. And why is that so important? Why is discipleship so important? Because through the discipleship, you come to the end of yourself. And it breaks your spirit, knowing that you can't do the things that God is requiring you to do. He proved that in the first covenant. That's why he made the first covenant. That's why the law came out. is so that he would show humanity, not just the nation of Israel, but he showed all humanity that I am so holy and my ways are above your ways and my thoughts are above your thoughts, and here's what you've got to do to please me. Humanity failed miserably in this task. That's why he wrote and said, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory, because we couldn't keep it in perfection. You can't keep 99 of God's points and only fall in one and be okay. It's you got to keep all 100 of them in perfection. Okay, you can't be almost there. And so that sets a situation in our life where, what do? If there's no way for me to please you, God, then what am I to do? Well, then you let God please himself. And God did that through his son, Jesus Christ. What we couldn't do for ourselves and what the law couldn't do, the law couldn't perfect humanity. Matter of fact, it showed the imperfection of humanity. So God did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that we might become new creatures. Not just to believe in him, but it's those that believe in him that God gives the faith to be taught by God, to come to the saving knowledge of who he is, through working out that salvation with fear and trembling. Working out your salvation is not going on mission trips, okay? It's not going to the food bank. It's not going to the good deeds is not working out your salvation with trembling. Working out your salvation with trembling is as you work through in that discipleship, and you work through the Word of God, and as he teaches you, you find out the frailty of humanity and how it comes short of God, and there's nothing you can do about it. And he brings you to the end of that point in your life so that you fall upon the mercy with boldness and confidence with the faith that he gives you, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word, remember? That's the only place you can get it. It's not how much you're in scripture, it's how much scripture gets in you that matters, okay? Religion has us doing all of these things and thinking that that's gonna make it, and it doesn't. You've been lied to all your life about all these denominations and how doing all these denomination things it's sad. He didn't know which to choose. He said, I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart to be with Christ, for that is a very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He realized that he had a purpose. His purpose was not yet finished. And so it wasn't like, okay, what people do in the way that religion works is, if we can get people into the church and we can convince them that they're sinners and we can get them to say this prayer and they come up here, it's like then they just like, oh, I'm going to heaven, no big deal. Paul realized that he was a child of God, and the work that he had never ceases. You don't retire from being a child of God. It's your nature. And your nature continues on until you die. And Paul realized this, and he had a purpose in his nature. In the new nature that God gives us, he gives us a purpose. This is not for you. It's not for your security. You do get security with it, but it's not for that. It's for other people. God saves you for other people. And when you have that opportunity, one of the questions that they asked was, how should we, yesterday in the youth conference there, one of their questions was, how do we instruct our youth to, in these controversial situations in America with, the gender confusion and the LGBT and the immorality that's in the world, these controversial issues, how do we deal with that? And I said, keep your mouth shut. If God doesn't go before you. But as a child of God, you have that responsibility to share truth to those that you love. Okay? We're not to be a noisy gong. We're to love these people in a gentle manner. These people are lost. They're not our enemies, is what I told them. This is about, our battle is against prince and principalities that we don't even understand. It's a spiritual warfare for the souls of humanity. And yet, God put us here is to be the guiding light. And so when you're out there picketing and when you're out there making a big stand over a particular sin, then you've built a bridge and a wall that you can no longer, your light can shine through that brick or wall. These people are lost. Do we not care that they're going to die and go to hell? But see, if they don't ask, if God hasn't gone before them, then it looks like you're just correcting them and condemning them. Okay, it's like the lesson we had this morning in Sunday school. You missed a great lesson if you missed it. Gosh, there's so much learning to be done, and we just don't do it, do we? But anyway, so these men on the ship, once for 2 weeks, can you imagine for 2 weeks being storm-tossed and not eating, and you can't miss one meal and you're upset? These people were fighting for their lives. They threw all their cargoes over. They experienced devastation for 2 solid weeks because it took that long so that when Paul could stand up and say, look, gentlemen, you should have listened to me. But let me tell you what, the angel of God came last night and told me, because Paul didn't know. He just knew he was going to Rome. He didn't know how he was going to get there. He just knew he was going to be there, right? So the angel of the Lord said, come, hey, look, they were ready to listen. Sometimes in people's lives, when they refuse to listen, you got to wait till God goes before them. And then when you speak, they'll listen. You see, this is where religion comes in and makes it easy for everybody to go to heaven, where God says it's impossible for anybody to go to heaven. If he doesn't grant it, you're not going. Yet remain in the flesh necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. I don't think we have joy in our faith in what the world teaches today. I don't think we have the joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? That should be in you. To be joyful in who you are, not ashamed of who you are. We talked about, and one of the questions was, what I told them, I said, the first thing you got to understand in the nature that you have is that your intentions are very good, but they're always going to fall short. And I shared a passage of scripture, well, Paul, how he was so sure and convinced that he was going to die with Christ, and he was going to stand firm in his conviction of knowing him. And when it time came, he denied him 3 times because Jesus told him he didn't know his own heart. And so the biblical principle there is, folks, that you don't know your own heart. You know, oh, I can withstand that drink. I can go with the group of people there and not succumb to the pressures of this world. Oh, I'm strong enough. I go to church. I will never have a premarital relationship. I will never have a postmarital relationship. I will never get drunk and carouse. And then all of a sudden you find yourself there. Because why? Because God allows it to happen. The reason God allows it to happen is to bring you to the end of yourself, to know that you can't do this. It's important that you fail in the flesh. Religion allows us to succeed in the flesh and deceives us. We cannot do this. This is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's why it was so important for Paul to remain, to keep these truths. They were trying to say you had to be circumcised to be saved. You had to do an act of man to be saved. You show me what act of man you can do to be saved. I want to know what it is. Back it up in Scripture. When God clearly says it's impossible for man. So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. So Ben, it wasn't about Paul at all. Just as Jesus Christ denounced any glory on this earth. Matter of fact, he said, I don't even consider it even to be even with God. Can't. He was in the flesh. Flesh has limits. And all holy God, in the flesh, through his son Jesus Christ, had limitations. He couldn't say equality with God was even possible. Paul says, it's not about me. It's about Christ Jesus. And then Christ Jesus says, it's not about me. It's about God the Father, who's using me to bring us about. He's the one that raises me from the dead. He's the one that gave me all authority. He's the one that said, I am the head of the church. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? And we give glory to those that shouldn't have the glory. Don't ever glorify a pastor. Don't ever glorify a teacher. It's all needs to go to God. And Paul was instructing them that the confidence you have in me, I want you to see that it's in Christ. That I am what I am is what he says, by the grace of God. Not anything that I've done. It's not my education. It's not all this pruning that I do on myself and all this self-help stuff. No, it's about God changing my nature and giving me a desire and giving me the purpose of life. Only conduct yourself. Then he goes on and tells them, I like this next part. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So what does that mean? Meaning God doesn't leave you where he found you. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're doing. It matters what you're doing about it. It matters who you are. And it matters that you're repenting from that, because the gospel of Jesus Christ leads and says you must repent. I will never save anybody and leave them where they're at in the sins that they're committing and practice those sins day in and day out with no remorse, no godly sorrow. God will never, ever, ever save anybody and take anybody to heaven that has not become purified and perfect through the Son and the work of Jesus Christ that he did on the cross. But see, we like to say, oh, he's just backslidden. Oh, he's just... I got baptized down at that church. I'm glad you got baptized at the church, but what did that mean? What does this mean to us? It means you're a new creature. It means you have different thoughts. It means you have different ways. You have to approach life differently. If you're a child of God, you can no longer accept the ways of mankind and ideologies of mankind and the compromise of mankind. See, religion compromises. It allows there to be a compromise with God and the world. And as every generation goes further and further, you're seeing more and more in that, as these churches are splitting and debating over the gender issues and things. It's not about the gender issues. It's about the heart of man, and we're corrupt. We're born that way. Can't do anything about it. But God can. But he doesn't leave you where he found you. So he says, you need to conduct yourselves. Huh? Conduct yourselves. That means how you act. That's mean what you now the physical becomes what the spiritual is. Because the physical can never make you spiritual. So you have to make sure you put it in the proper order. I have to first become before I am and before I do. So that whether I come and see you and remain absent, or I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So it didn't matter. You know, a lot of times people act different when a preacher's around. It's funny. Especially religious folks. You know, they act different. They act different when they come in here. Okay? I see religious people all the time, and they talk about, there was one this week, and him and her are having discussions, and she says, almost to the point of divorce. And of course, they go to church, and they talk about God all the time, and all this kind of stuff, and yet their relationship is not good. I promise you, if your relationship isn't good with your spouse, your relationship isn't good with God. Okay? Listen to me. If your relationship isn't good with other people, your relationship with God is in trouble. Because you probably don't have a relationship at all. You've got religion. And religion doesn't solve the problem of mankind. We gotta start putting this in our lives and putting God's word to the test in our lives, because it proves who we are. But one mind, huh? He didn't say, okay, now the one spirit and you Baptists over here, the one spirit and you Methodists over here got a spirit, and the Catholics have got a spirit, and the Muslims have got a spirit, and Jehovah Witnesses have got a spirit, and the Pentecostals have got a spirit. One spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And he teaches everybody the exact same thing. Now, how he teaches you will be different, but the outcome will be the same. You can't have all of this division. It's impossible in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the true church where he's head of, to have these divisions. Impossible. Stay in the one heart, the one mind. You can't have the same mind and have 15 different thoughts on the same subject with different conclusions. The one mind means we're all understanding that whatever God says, it's thus saith the Lord, we obey it, whether we believe it, whether we understand it, whether we know it. It's thus saith the Lord. And until the church gets back to that and says, thus saith the Lord, and get rid of all this religious garbage, we're in trouble, folks. And when you speak this truth to people, it's like you're speaking a foreign language. Terry and I didn't understand a single word that these people said yesterday, hardly, unless the translator translated. But when they were singing their songs, I didn't understand a single word they said. And when you speak the truth of God, it's like that. Why? Because the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. You have to be spiritually appraised. And that's why if God doesn't reveal it to you, you can't get it. Listen to this. If you hadn't heard anything else, listen to this. For to you it has been granted, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. It's been granted to you. This is not something you can just say a prayer when you get ready to say a prayer, but you have to throw yourself upon the Holy Spirit. God and ask for his mercy and his grace, his knowledge, his understanding. You have to fear him. You got to start putting all the scriptures in place to begin to understand this, and not just pick one scripture and make a denomination out of it. But it was for Christ's sakes that God grants you to believe, so that you can suffer. First place you suffer is in the flesh. So you got to bring the other passage of scripture that said that you need to hate your own life. Hate your mother and your father. Not a malicious hate, but it's a hate in the state that we are born, in the iniquity that we're born in. And if you don't hate what you are, and you don't hate what you stand for, and you don't hate how you were born, then you don't understand, and you haven't been brought to the saving knowledge of who God is. Okay? Because it's for Christ's sake that he granted this, that we could believe. This is all based upon what God allows and what God doesn't allow, not what our denominations tell us. But we have to suffer for his sake, and we have to suffer in this flesh. We have to fight this battle, and we have to persevere to the end, because it's only those that persevere to the end that's going to be saved. Oh, I tried that one time, but I got baptized. I know I'm going to heaven, but I just don't go anymore. There's just no heart in me to come and worship. There's no desire. It's just something that I do out of obligation to religion. But the desire, can you not wait till next time the church gathers together and be here and worship? Can you not? Are you not excited about that? Are you not excited about the hearing of the Word of God? I'm trying to warn you that you've got a problem. That was one of their questions, and we didn't get to answer it because they didn't follow instructions. You only had 2 minutes to answer a question, and some people took a lot longer than that, 5 to 10 to 15 minutes questions, and they had to stop it. But why are not our youth in church anymore? Why are they not being active in church activities? And I didn't get the answer. Because you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be the church, not just going through the motion of what a church tells you to do. And when you become the church, you will have a desire to know what God thinks and what God does. And you are not the church. You just go to church. There's a big difference in being the church and going to church, because a church loves the Word of God. And they get excited when they hear it. And they grow when they hear it. And they apply it to their lives. And they conduct themselves in a manner worthy of their calling. See, it's not a matter if we mess up. The church does something about messing up. They make restitution. They go to God. They're corrected by the Holy Spirit. They repent. That's how this works, according to Scripture.